In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Hi, psychic listeners. We have Carrie Moss on for this episode, and Carrie is an entrepreneur, a psychic, an intuitive, and she also provides not just energy healings and readings, but she provides aura photography, which I find fascinating, and I love it, and I've been following you for ages on Instagram. So welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, love it, love it. All right. So what we do, the first question really is for everybody. What is your story and how did you get into this line of work?
Oh, it's an interesting story. So really what happened for me is my mom had recently passed, and this is about, oh gosh, I guess about 7 years ago now, maybe six. I love it that I can't remember it exactly. That means that there's a lot of healing that's been done around that.
Yes.
But my mom passed from cancer, and this was my second time to go through this with a family member. My sister had actually passed from cancer when she was 37, and then my mom passed from a different type of cancer when she was 69. And, you know, I saw her through her transition. I was actually her caregiver for like the last couple of months of her life. And honestly, I was depleted and tired. And I was also managing a small boutique hotel in Austin part-time and then shooting part-time. And I had also just recently separated. So I was going through a divorce. My daughter was about 12 years old then. And anyway, I was just depleted. And I was like, I just want a 9-to-5 job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tired of being a freelancer. I just want a steady income. And so I went and did that, and I got my 9-to-5 job. And oh gosh, it was probably only 3 months into it that I was like, I'm dying on the vine. Let me out of here. And as it happened, you know, the universe gave me something at that point. A really good friend of mine showed me an aura photo. And she was like, look at this. And I was like, okay, well, A, it's beautiful. And B, how does it work? Is it fake? You know, I mean, is it an app? Like, what's going on? And she said, well, it's a special camera. And so I started researching the camera then, and that's the Auracam 6000. That's the one that I use now. And, you know, I was still in this job, and it just kept bubbling up into my mind. I wonder if I could do that. There was one other person doing aura photos the way that my business ended up being. And I was like looking at her business model. It's like, okay, well, I mean, I wonder if I could do that. And so I decided, okay, this is about 6 months into that job. I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it. And I ended up getting my notice and flying out to meet the camera, the people that made the camera. And they live in, or were based out of Redwood City, California at the time. It's since moved to LA. But it was a trip because I hopped on a plane. I was flying there and back all in one day. And this is a story of synchronicity at this point. That's why I want to include it. So I got to the airport in Austin, and I was just getting ready to board the plane. Actually, no, I had boarded the plane, and I realized I didn't have my phone. And I was like, crap, because I wasn't renting a car. I was going to, you know, take a Lyft or an Uber or whatever. And I got off the plane and I started running through the airport, just freaking out, looking for my phone. Was nowhere to be found. And I was like, I don't think I can go to this meeting without a way to contact anybody, you know? I mean, I need my phone.
Yeah, and our phones are like our lives. It's like our right arm nowadays. Yeah.
Totally. And so I was standing outside of the gate and this tall man walked up. I was talking to the gate attendants there and they were like, well, you know, I was like, I really need to go to this meeting. And the man was like, well, it sounds like it's an important meeting. I know someone on the plane. You can use her phone. And I have a feeling it's just going to work out. And I was like, okay. And so we start walking down the little gangplank together to get on the plane. And it turns out it was the captain of the plane. Aww. And I was like, okay. And then the woman he knew on the plane turned out to be a flight attendant. And she was just headed home. And so she comes up and she's like, are you the woman that lost her phone? And I said, yes. And she said, well, you can use mine as soon as we get outside and we, you know, get off the plane. Where are you going? And I told her Redwood City, California. And she said, well, I am actually driving right through there on my way home. I'll be happy to give you a ride.
Oh my gosh, totally divine order.
I know. And I was like, okay, yeah, that'll be fine. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I hope this is safe, you know? And so I get in my seat and the guy next to me, I'm like, can I use your phone to call my partner? So I call Bart and I'm like, okay, this is going down, you know, I have no way to contact you. Here's where we're at. So she was such a gem. She dropped me to the door of where I needed to go. I had this amazing experience meeting the people that are actually the inventor of the camera, actually Guy Coggins. And I even told her that I was a little nervous about just being there, you know, and she checked in on me. Like she found that she got their number and she checked in on me. They ended up taking me, driving me back to the airport. And, but she said she would come back and get me and take me to the airport. So it was just super sweet all the way around. And I was like, yes, I'm going to get the camera. And they said, yes. I felt like I was almost being interviewed as to whether they would sell me the camera at that point. And so we decided we would move forward. And that was in 2016. And that was like the gateway to my whole energetic experience unfolding, you know, before me. Now, I had been really influenced by my mom with New Age, you know, spirituality starting in my 20s. So this idea of energy and that we are energy was not new to me. But I did, you know, self-teach, you know, how to use the camera and then how to interpret.
And had you seen an aura photo before or heard about them before your friend had shown you like the pictures and you started going in
No.
and researching? Oh, okay. Very cool.
No, I had not. That was my first one. And so, yeah. And then here we are today.
Wow. Well, your website and your brand and, you know, being in PR as my full-time job, as I say it, is I just am definitely very impressed because if you want to kind of walk people through first before we get to all of that and how you built your business and what your favorite thing is to do now, because our spiritual journeys evolve. I would love to hear just, you know, what an aura is and what it looks like to people if you're going to get a photo taken.
Yeah. So our aura is an electromagnetic field that surrounds our body. And so everything up is made up of energy. And we know this just from basic physics at this point. But so it's this electromagnetic field. And we are actually calling in the color rays that we need to support our healing. This can be emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. We're calling in these color rays first and foremost to support healing. And there's an inflow and an outflow. So we call in what we need, and then there's an outflow as well. And you can kind of think of it like your breath. You know, there's nothing that we need to do this. Our higher self knows what to call in.
I love that you put it that way because I never really thought about it as breathing, you know, is that it's like
Isn't
an in
that great?
Yeah, like it's an in and an out thing. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on that outflow is where we can embody some of the characteristics that go along with the color. Now, we typically won't embody all of the characteristics, but certainly some of them. And so that's what's going on with your aura. Now, the aura is just part of our energetic anatomy. So we have the torus field, the chakras, the meridians, and then all the layers of the aura. And so you can think of that as your energy field or your light body.
I always felt like the aura was that outward projection of your spirit or your soul. Do you think that that's the case? Or is it a more of that that energy that's like physically connected to your body?
It's both.
Okay.
So there's the inward soul-based model where your soul is like in your heart area and then it goes out. And then there's also the thinking in terms of the soul is everywhere and all around, and then we embody that energy and it comes in. And so both of these models are accurate, and we move back and forth between those naturally. So the answer to the question is both.
That resonates with me, because I was going to say, like, you do feel it's strange, right? When you try and connect and see what and go inward, as we all say, what that means.
Right.
And you do feel that with your heart and your emotions and everything else. But at the same time, it's almost like you're not limited to that physical presence. So what does that mean? So I always kind of think of it as your light spark is more inside you and it emanates out. At the same time, your higher self and everything else that's subconscious and conscious is also kind of holding it together, but can almost like a radio wave bounce back and forth.
Yeah. You got it. Perfect. Perfectly said.
And how far do our auras like expand and go? Like, I know that they ebb and flow, right?
They do. And we naturally pull them in situations like if you're going to be in an airport, or let's just say you're on the plane, you're going to pull in most people because they are protective, right? And then if you're, with friends and family, you're typically more expansive and you'll push your aura out. When I work with people, their fields are typically about 3 feet away from their body, but they will grow and expand as we move through a session. I also will meet someone's aura with my aura and then slightly, it's kind of like a little aura hug, and that's how I give distance sessions. Yeah.
That's really cool. So we
shape them basically.
Yeah. We shape them. And I guess when you were saying that it's like breathing, we're not really thinking about it as much. But again, similar to breathing, if you're taking a deep breath in, a deep breath out, like you're meditating or you're doing yoga and it's intentional, then it sounds like you could probably do the same thing with your aura.
Absolutely. Yes. And just in the case in point, like when I purposefully use mine to hold space and time in a session when I'm not in a physically present with my client, I purposefully will meet their aura and then I shape my own to be in a really supportive way during that session.
Now, do you feel that? Like, does it feel a certain way to you, or do you just know mentally or consciously that that's what's happening?
Okay. It does. Mm-hmm. It does feel a way to me. Now, everybody's different. It kind of depends on how you perceive energy, right? But for me, I do feel it.
So what do they look like? I know what they look like. I've taken a few had a few aura photography and photos taken of me over the years. But for those, one, they'll obviously head to your website and your Instagram to check it out. But how would you describe them? I mean, you mentioned the colors and we talked about the...
Right. And so you mean like in a physical picture, what do they look like?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh gosh. They're just, these color fields that are the pictures are head and shoulders first. And then there's a color field expanding all the way around. Typically, I mean, sometimes not, sometimes it can be a little closer into the body, or there can be colors that aren't present in certain areas of the photo. And that just gives us a clue as to where that person is at with their field at that moment. But, the colors are typically bright and saturated. If some clearing needs to be done or some vitalization needs to be done, we may see colors that are a little bit muddier. Does that give you a good idea of what they look like?
Yeah, no. What do the different colors mean? And I know that, again, they change and it can even change as regularly as when you're having a session done.
They can. Yeah. So, you know, just a couple little, because I mean, we could go on
right.
for the whole time talking about that. But, you know, violet is about being connected with your highest self. It's about spirituality. They can be big picture thinkers, intuition, spirituality, you know, clear, authentic communication is important with blues. Let's see.
What's red?
Yeah, red. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I call reds my zesty red. So passionate about life, a little grounded, typically strong will. There's going to be some leadership characteristics that come through here. And so that's just a little taste.
Yeah. And I've also seen in some photos, having researched it in the past, like little light bulbs kind of, or lights that are emanating. And is that different energy?
Orbs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was trying to look for the word.
Yeah.
Is that different spirits and souls, or is that energy that you're emanating?
So my take on that is that it is. And so, you know, I believe we all have a team of non-physical that's there for us to support us through our physical journey. And so since they are frequency based and this technology is frequency based, they can come through. And so that can look like streaks of white or little kind of orbs of light or white areas. And that happens from time to time. And it's usually really, really special to the person when that happens.
Yeah, I'll see if I can have my mom find the photo and send it to me, and I can post it along with, you know, this interview. But she had one taken. There's like an annual psychic fair over where she used to live, and my grandmother had recently passed away. And so she was like, send me a sign. And she wasn't really thinking about it with the aura photo that she was going to be taking. But then later when it developed, because it's more like a Polaroid, right? What you get. And there is clearly a face and a woman standing behind, like to her right side. And it's totally the face of my grandmother. And so that was really special for her to say, hey, I'm right beside you. And I think that is really cool.
That is really, really cool. Well, you know, since my mom and my sister transitioned, I would be like, okay, if you want to show up in my aura photo, that would be so cool, you know. And I was working with a medium once to talk with my mom and my sister, and she was like, so your sister is jumping up and down and saying she was in your photo? She was in your photo? Do you know what that means?
Oh my
gosh. And
I was
like, oh yeah, I know what that means.
Did you find the photo? Were you able to locate it and know which one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I knew the one she was talking about.
That's so awesome. Yeah. It's amazing that they still can reach us and communicate with us.
Mm-hmm.
So why would people, have their photos of their auras taken? I mean, I know why I would, but just like I'm assuming different reasons.
Well, I mean, people are motivated to do it for a bunch of different reasons. But I think one thing that it can bring to people is just really, sometimes we need a visual representation to really begin to connect to our field and to embody fully that we are more than these physical bodies, right? Everything is frequency. And when we can begin to experience life in that way, things just start unfolding and life gets richer and we can start to feel better. And we start to possibly be aware that we have control over the frequencies that we are emitting and how that can impact our lives and our health.
I say often on here that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and that's the lesson that we're trying to learn, and everybody has a different growth. But for me, auras, when you're getting that portrait or that photo taken, what I think is cool is it gives you more of that physical type of confirmation or validation that there is that energy and that vibration around you. Like you hear about it, like your chakras and, you know.
It's tangible, right? And so I think that is pretty much the coolest reason to get an aura photo. And people like to mark their life events with it, which is really neat too.
Never really thought about that. Like if you get married or you have a baby or,
I have a lot of people that come back at the same time every year, like for their birthday, or they tend to do it, you know, just at Christmas every time. The beginning of the year is a big time that people like to have an aura photo taken. And so it's a way to self-reflect and also get validation of where they think they're at. So,
Yeah. How do auras become damaged and how do they heal? Because I'm imagining like within your energy healing work, and when you mentioned that you do that long distance where you're kind of giving an auric hug, that's part of what you do in your practice.
It is. And so our auras can become weak, depleted, damaged by our thoughts. If we are in a habitual thinking pattern of negative thinking about ourselves or others, that can create energetic signature packets that can take up residence in your aura and create stagnation. So we want flow, right? Trauma can do that. Let's see. Trauma, stagnation, you know, if abuse could do that. And so really these life, negative life experiences, there are issues in our aura. And by issues, I'll say lower dense frequencies that are keeping flow from happening far before we have illness in our physical body.
It's almost kind of like our first line of defense.
It is.
Right? It's like a layer of protection around you, your auric field, that if it's not replenished or healed over time, then it's breaking it down. And then that's when it maybe manifests in the physical form.
Absolutely. You know, unworthiness, anxiety, depression, disempowering thoughts, staying in a situation that you know is bad for you. All of these things can start to cause issues in the energy field. And then when we notice them in our physical body, or if we can even manage to get somewhat removed and be able to see what our thoughts are doing as the observer, then we know that that stuff is ready to be healed. That's when it's ready to be healed.
So people can come to you to get energy healing or have healing work done. And before we get into what that looks like or what kind of services you offer, are there things that people can do on a more regular basis on their own to work on their auras and heal the process?
I would say becoming aware of your thoughts is huge. So we can raise frequency emotionally by starting a gratitude practice. And I'm sure you are aware of this, but right when we start noticing all the things that we are grateful for in our lives and really making that part of our day to day, we raise frequency. And we also put out to the universe that frequency that is going to come back to us, which is going to be a high frequency of gratitude. Physically, we can exercise, we can take walks, we can go dance, you know, yoga. I am really, really into heart-brain coherence meditation right now. Are you familiar with that, Nicole?
No, what is that again? How you say it?
So heart-brain coherence meditation. And so much research has been done. This is just a meditation technique to raise frequency. And HeartMath, are you familiar with that organization?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So this is them, you know. And so when we meditate, and especially in this way where you are thinking of love and thinking of things that you're super grateful for, and you just keep focusing on that, and you build the energy, and you're breathing through your heart center, and then you're releasing it. I do that probably 3 times a day at least. And sometimes I'll just move into coherence naturally now, because once you take up a meditation practice, especially in this way, you're entraining your energetic system to be able to move into that higher state frequency easier, and it becomes second nature. And so the benefits of that are you're triggered less easily. you know, certain viruses and illnesses that are have a lower frequency can't get into a high frequency field. If you're thrown off from a life challenge, which we will be, we are able to come back into balance easier. And so meditation, I would say.
Yeah. And what I find fascinating is a lot of recent research. And when you mention the heart and the brain, there, I mean, everything within our bodies and our souls are connected in some way. But recent research has shown that it's less about the brain actually controlling the heart. The heart sends more messages and signals to the brain. So they're now actually thinking that it's the reverse, which I find very Absolutely. Fascinating.
Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because we've always said, go to your heart.
Right. It's always like, is it your brain or your heart? Like, what do you feel? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Versus the logic yeah. where it's also more of that feeling and the knowing and that intuition. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting when we move into the heart and connecting with the intelligence center of the heart. I do that a lot in my work and especially with the chakra work. But I would say every session. I'm connecting in with the person's intelligence center of their heart. And it's interesting to hear what the heart has to say. Yeah.
One of the easier tips, and would love to see how you feel about this, that I've received even when I was growing up, was that when you take a shower, you take a bath, your aura tends to go inward. And what water does is it's that conduit, and it almost like washes away some of those extra energies that are attached, or that like those lower vibrations that necessarily shouldn't be there. And so that is a big process of it. So usually when I'm in the shower or I'm in a bath, I'll like do that kind of meditating or breath work. Whether or not it's true or not, I feel that, and then I feel that process and that cleansing that's happening. And I think that you can almost physically feel it too when you're out of the water. You can almost start to feel that energy coming back out of your body. I don't know if you've experienced that or if you've heard that that's like a good tip for people to try.
That's a great tip. That's a wonderful tip. And, you know, also energy follows intention. And so while you're in the shower, if you intend that you are rinsing away all of those denser vibrations, you're letting them go, you're releasing anything that isn't serving you at that point, then that is huge. You can also do a version of that in the bathtub. So you can run a bath, especially put some like Epsom salts in it, and that helps dry out and clear. And then as you release and, you know, soak and breathe, and then as you let the water out, you are intending that all of those lower frequencies just go right down the drain.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think it's something that's easy for people, you know, to do on a more frequent basis. But walk us through, so what additional services do you offer? So if you're not in Austin, Texas, I know that you used to be able to bring your aura photography to different locations. So if you're not there to be able to get a photo done, what things do you offer for people virtually?
Yeah. So all of my healing is done via distance healing right now. And so that is just, we start typically on a Zoom call. It can be done by phone. I don't need to see you, but I like to start the session out by just having some face-to-face time. And so, yeah, you know, you can head over to the website to see what types of things I can work with, but it's really everything. How can I clarify this? And so my sessions, once you book, I like to have a quick little call just to talk about what your goals are for the session, what your intention is for the session. When we are able to clarify that, those energies come to the fore so that we can work with them. And also just answering any questions for my clients before we move into the session, because the mind can get kind of weird and can get like, what is going to happen? You know, so it just helps to calm the mind.
Yeah, especially if you haven't done it before too, right?
Yeah. And distance healing can be hard for people to wrap their head around, you know, but there is no time and space and energy. And it's just as simple as that. And I would say 60% of my clients on our follow-up, they're like, I don't know how it works, but it just works. And I was like, well, you don't have to know. So that's the important part.
Just believe that it does, and know that it does, right?
Yeah. So we have a little chat, and then on the session, we meet over Zoom or by phone, if that's better for someone. And I share what's going on while I'm in session. And so, you know, for me, I work with two different protocols. Typically, it'll be channeled light healing, which is very similar to Reiki, except for that we work from the 12th dimension down, and Reiki works with the third dimension up. So I'll work with channeled light healing and also gemstone therapy. And I'll just throw it out there to their highest self and say, what out of my protocols that I know will best serve this person? And so I am in constant contact. It's client-led in that I am in touch with their highest self and their team throughout the whole entire session and being guided in that way. And then I'm letting them know what I'm sensing, how their energy is moving, what gems are coming in, how their energy feels, if it's, you know, some unwinding is being done, if we're looking for some rhythms in an area and maybe they're frozen and then we're bringing them back online. I'm checking in with the intelligence centers, if there are chakras, and working with those. And then I'll move into, you know, some of the channel light healing. And a lot of times people are experiencing, oh, sometimes a tingling feeling, seeing colors in their mind's eye. They almost always get very relaxed. And there's always a lot of time spent on the integration, because that's very important in physical work, but even more so when you're working via distance. And so I walk them through.
And what do you mean by the integration? For people that may not be familiar with that.
Yeah. So integration, it's about how we take that energetic component of the healing that we've just undertaken and integrate it into our physical body and into the layers of our aura. And that's really it. And it just takes some time. And so you want to just be really slow, or I like to be really slow with my clients. And I walk them through a verbal integration through all of the dimensions up through the fifth dimension. And I'm working with their team and their highest self, and knowing that that is going to be supported after the session is over, that they're going to continue to support the client to take those shifts and changes and understandings and fully integrate them into their life in whatever way is highest and best for the client.
You bring up a really, really good point for, and I don't know who necessarily needs to hear this, but this is what I'm being led to share, is that the integration, and I'm getting chills as I'm saying this, is most people, like, think about saging your house, like, and that's saging, not staging. Like, if you're cleaning out your house with the different type of smoke or what have you, and you're pushing that energy out, a lot of times people forget to also have that good energy come back in, because when you, when you remove a, when you release something, there's a void or a space, and that's got to be intentionally going back to the gratitude and that level of vibration and the thankfulness that you're bringing in. But then we often forget what you're talking about is the integration, that it's not just kind of like turning on and off a faucet. For some people, if there's this larger healing journey or time frame, then it may take days versus just a couple hours, you know, more sessions versus just one. And it sounds like, and what I love what you're saying, is you take that time to be thoughtful and intentional with your clients to ensure that that integration process is happening, almost like they're absorbing it and like holding it within their space and their energy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very well said. Definitely.
And I think, and one of the things, like, it sounds like too, that you, even if it's not done and it does take days or weeks, you can also just say, okay, guides and angels, for their best and highest good, whatever I didn't do right now or however long this takes, you'll be continuing to work on them, right?
That's right. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want people to leave feeling very grounded. You know, maybe you've had a massage or something like that, and you leave and you get up and you're like, whoa, you know, the earth is moving beneath my feet. And so I'm going for the opposite of that. I want them to feel very grounded and alert. Relaxed is good, but mm-hmm. not spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we take some time with that, and So, and then we do a debrief. Now in distance healing, since I'm talking a lot of the time, they may be hearing me, but sometimes people go off to La La Land, which is a beautiful way to receive. So I'll go back through and debrief the client on what happened in the session and what I sensed and the shifts that occurred.
And with that, when people are getting a session, can they record it? Or are you recording it so that they can go back if they need to? Or is that what the debrief is at the end? Okay.
I can do that. You know, so there's a couple of ways that, you know, when you're working with energy, let's just say it is well, here's my thought on that. I will often work with a healer, Alyssa Mailhorn, with her energy healing sessions, and you can like buy one, let's just say it would be working with your energy field for abundance. And so I'll buy that and I'll go listen to it over and over again. Now, one thing is if you were to listen to the recording over again, I think that some care needs to be taken there because your energy has already shifted.
Correct. Yeah.
You don't want to put it back into a state that it was before at that time. And sometimes that can happen. And so I do record it if the client requests, but I always let them know to be aware of that.
Yeah. And the reason why I guess I said that is because what you're talking about is more of like that actual process of energy healing. Like you just said, you basically wouldn't necessarily be recording a massage or what have you, because there's these shifts and these things that are happening that it's on a deeper level that then it's over and done with. I guess I also was saying it because I feel like sometimes when people have sessions with me or vice versa, they're like, can I take notes? Can I record this? And it's like, you're already in that mental mind space of feeling that you need to like record and capture everything, which is fine if it's more of an intuitive type of reading, and very different though from when you are doing a healing session. Because you want to be able to kind of like disconnect and be able to really tap into that vibration and that energy flow.
I agree, totally. And so if it makes them feel better and they're able to receive better, I can absolutely do that. Absolutely.
And you have something really exciting, this energy healing monthly subscription plan. And you have your next enrollment opens January 2021. Perfect timing, right? After the election and the holidays and the new year. So what's that all about?
I'm excited about that. Yeah, you know, I was looking for a way to serve a larger audience, to make healing accessible to a broader base of people financially. And so I came up with this healing subscription plan. And so this is about a 13-week ongoing relationship that we have together. And we have a discovery call, and then there'll be a one-on-one session with me. And then clients are able to submit weekly healing requests. And so this is really awesome because it gives them ongoing support through the whole 13 weeks. It allows us to go deeper with the unraveling. I think of healing as kind of like an onion, and you're peeling back the layers and layers and layers. And so that healing work is done via channel light healing without them needing to be, you know, receiving with me in real time. So it's been really great. And I send out love notes with some little tips on things that they can do to go deeper in their own healing and take up their power as being their own healer.
That's awesome, because I especially think the timing of all of this, people really are looking for something that is a resource for them, but that's not necessarily going to break the bank, because we're all needing that right now, even more so than, you know, usual. And I think that that's a really great offering that you have.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been great. This has been my first time to offer that. And I'm looking forward to, you know, putting it out again in January. So that will be on my website. It's there now, but people can always sign up for the newsletter and they'll get notified when that enrollment opens again in January.
Okay, awesome. Well, I felt our guides and angels here with us in this conversation. Is there anything else that you feel led that you want to share with the listeners, or anything else that you wanted to clarify that maybe we haven't had a chance to go over or go into detail about?
You know, it's just been a lovely conversation. I think that I feel complete. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm going to, before we close, I just want to give folks a way to reach out to you. Obviously, it'll be in the show notes, but your website is carriemoss.world, and that's C-A-R-R-I-E, Moss, M-O-S-S. And that's the same as your Instagram, correct?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. And is there any other way, or those are the two main places you'd like people to go? I think you also have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, Facebook gets kind of automatically updated. I'm much more active on Instagram.
Same.
So that, and then of course my email is everywhere. So absolutely feel free to reach out.
Well, thanks so much, Carrie. I appreciate having you on.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. A Psychic Story has a 1-800 phone number now. You can call and leave a voicemail about any questions you may have, new topics you'd like to hear about, or even guests you want to hear more from. The number is 1-800-880-1881. That is 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you. Call and leave us a message. You may even be featured on a future episode.